Hi, my name is Fedi, a very grateful member of Al-Anon. Preamble. The Al-Anon family groups are a fellowship of relatives and friends of alcoholics who share their experience, strength, and hope in order to solve their common problems. We believe alcoholism is a family illness and that changed attitudes can aid recovery. Al-Anon is not allied with any sect, denomination, political entity, organization, or institution. Does not engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any cause. There are no dues for membership. Al-Anon is self-supporting through its own voluntary contribution. Al-Anon has but one purpose, to help family of alcoholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps, by welcoming and giving comfort to family of alcoholics, and by giving understanding and encouragement to the alcoholic. Thank you for letting me read.
Thank you. And I've asked Tina to read our workshop opening.
Good morning. My name is Tina, grateful member of Al-Anon. Okay. One of the simple practices I've used over the years to sustain my willingness to attend meeting is making a commitment to perform.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Is making a commitment to perform one job related to the group. Whether serving coffee, putting out literature, acting as treasurer, or filling the position of secretary. Clearly, agreeing to speak at a meeting is also an excellent incentive for attendance. In this way, I remove all debates about whether I have the time, the energy, or the willingness to attend by simply recognizing that I have a job to do. While performing my chosen task, I'm assured that I am part of a gathering where, however imperceptibly, hearts are being healed. Many members find that Al-Anon service provides welcome, healing benefits. Service offers many of us a new experience in group participation. No longer isolated, we share a common welfare with other Al-Anon members and also with the people still seeking help. A common bond unites us despite our many differences. As we reach out carrying Al-Anon messages of hope, we look for a confirmation that our actions in fact support our common welfare. For guidance and support, we turn to the traditions and strive to practice our program's concept of obedience to the unenforceable. The traditions offer guidance for our efforts, but we have individual responsibility for applying them. As we apply the traditions to our actions, we notice that these precepts for preserving unity can be applied to other experiences and other relationships. Our families, friends, and businesses and communities all provide fertile ground for practicing the principles of our tradition. And as we do so, we find ourselves growing by leaps and bounds. In reaching out to others, through Al-Anon service, we have the opportunity to share our unique experience and our personal recovery for a common good. We have the chance to encourage detachment, acceptance, and serenity in a supportive environment and to get to know ourselves better, both strengths and weaknesses. In the process, we have the opportunity to contribute not only what we can do, but more important, who we can be. By sharing our recovery, we strengthen its working in our own lives. By seeking to allow a higher power to work in and through us, we come to feel more fully the presence of that power. In giving, we receive.
Thank you, Tina. And I've asked Janelle to read our March reading.
Let me finish this off. We have to put, because of copyright rules, that reading was from When I Got Busy, I Got Better, pages 7 through 8, 38, and 55 through 56, copyright Al-Anon Family Groups Headquarters, Inc., 1994. And I will switch to the March reading.
Hi, I'm Donnell. March reading, tradition 2. For our group purpose, there is but one authority. A loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. When I began actively participating in my group, I noticed that other members responded to my efforts with encouragement and appreciation. No one insisted I arrange literature in a certain way perform as secretary with aplomb and clarity, or prepare the world's finest coffee. Members treated me gently, not only out of courtesy, but also out of deference to the second tradition. I was functioning as a trusted servant, and no group member was attempting to assume authority by directing or controlling my efforts. I began to lose my fear of criticism and to speak more easily in contributing to the group conscience. I too could take part in expressing the love of a higher power in the affairs of my group. I felt encouraged to cooperate as an equal with others. In my life outside Al-Anon, I don't participate in many groups that even acknowledge a higher power as a presence in group activities, let alone recognize it as a sole authority. I do, however, participate in groups that operate on the basis of discussion, majority votes, and sometimes even consensus. In all these groups, and especially in my dealings with family and friends, I feel free to include my sense of a loving higher power in my personal deliberations. Sometimes, of course, the sense is stronger than others. My human ability to express the will of a higher power is limited. Even so, the guidance and encouragement of the second tradition have opened up avenues to participation that now extend well past my contribution in service. From When I Got Busy, I Got Better, page 39 through 40, copyright, Al-Anon Family Groups Headquarters, Inc., 1994.
Thank you, Danelle. So each of our three panelists will share for 15 minutes, and the rest of the time will be used for your questions and possibly brief shares. So remember, anyone's sharings are solely the opinion of the member and not that of the Arizona area or Al-Anon as a whole. So I'd like to start. Our first speaker is Denise from Michigan. Please unmute and share, Denise.
I am Denise. I always look for waves to make sure you know you love technology, but sometimes my sound doesn't work on my computer, so there you go. Hi guys, thanks. I'm very grateful that I can be present today to talk about tradition too. And I love that, you know, when I get busy, I get better. You know, like the booklet says, you know, I volunteered to do this and I got all my literature out, and it's lovely being at my home. It's like a pile of literature is out here by me. But when I thought, you know, and I got this information and I thought about tradition too, and what I just heard in the reading, it makes me think of when I do any of the studying of the steps, traditions, or concepts, I go back to, I think of the three components, the three-legged stool I've heard in Al-Anon. I think of the steps, traditions, and the concepts. And it's right in here in the service manual on page 14, our three legacies: recovery through the steps, unity through the traditions, and service through the concepts. And so I think of that three-legged stool, you know, what does, so I'm talking about tradition two. So what does step two say, and what does concept two say? And I think a lot of, you know, when I'm working tradition two, step two talks about a relationship with my higher power, and so does tradition two, and so does concept two. And I think, you know, what is, and I loved a question. It was, you know, obedience to the unenforceable. And I have Al-Anon's 12 steps and 12 traditions right here, page 86. The obedience to the unenforceable. I love this reading. It says the traditions are not rules. There are no rules, no musts in Al-Anon. Accepting the guidance of the traditions has been described as obedience to the unenforceable. No one in our fellowship has the authority to say you should not do this or you must do that. But if a group fails to observe the traditions, it risks the possibility of errors and conflict that could deprive many a troubled person of the help to be found in Al-Anon. And I think of that, to me, obedience to the unenforceable. I come to the program to get recovery for myself, but I don't have to practice the steps. I don't have to practice the traditions. I don't have to practice the concepts. I do because I feel better as a person when I do it. I think of I'm an AMIAS, an Al-Anon member involved in Al-Ateen service, and I've sponsored many groups. And there's an Al-Ateen reading that talks about doing well on a test, and you can do, you know, to do well on a test, I can study, I can attend class regularly, I can do my test prep and I can go and do better on the test, or I can sleep in, not go to class, you know, and I can fail. And trust me, I think about that three-legged stool and missing one of the legs, and, you know, let me not practice that step and I'll fall right on my butt. I'll fall flat on my butt because I need all three legs of that stool. And I think of that for me, you know, I can in my recovery, I can attend meetings regularly. I can practice the steps, traditions, and concepts. I can work out regularly. I can eat healthy and get a good night's sleep, or I can't. You know, like before today, I could have not prepped anything and just shown up and said, hi, I don't know what to say, bye. You know, but I like who I am when I do those things. I like when I practice the principles of the program. Then I think, who is the unseen member? To me, that's the unseen member is the higher power. There's lots of great readings, you know, 12 and 12, all the literature about the higher power that's in the meeting. I've heard it said when two or more members are present, my higher power is present and the group's higher power is present. And then two, it talks about, and that's really important to me. And, you know, and it takes me back to step two, you know, can we come to believe in a power greater than myself? And then I was thinking about, you know, a trusted servant, and I probably can't find the quick reading that I had on trusted servant, but anybody that's involved in service is a trusted servant. You know, it talks about the difference between governing and leading. And I'm not, you know, any role that I've done, I've done many roles in the group. You know, I'm an AMIAS. I am a member of the group. I've done treasurer. I've done local level at RAIS. I've done roles in district. I've done some stuff at the area level. And all of those roles, I'm a trusted servant. I'm not there to control. I'm there to perform the job as described in the literature that's given to me as the World Service Conference information is to me. There's so much stuff out there, y'all. It's fantastic. You know, and it's my job to do those things. And then it's it. That's it. It is not my job to lead, you know, or it's not my job to govern. You know, it's not. And it's unique that I've seen in the program of Al-Anon. You know, it's my job and I volunteer for service. I really, really take a look at it. I've said it out of other things. I give everything 72 hours to allow that unseen member, to allow my higher power to come in there and to go, what's my motive for this? You know, if I'm going to do it because I'm going to lead or I'm going to be in control of it, then I need to step back. You know, if it's my higher power can speak through me, then, you know, maybe I'll take a step and do that and step forward. But I, you know, I definitely, I am not in control. Thank God. You know, there's a higher power. I've heard in the program, there's a higher power and it's not you and it's not me, but there is one. And I'm so grateful for it because I even see the higher power in every group I belong to and including this group. There's a higher power of this group that led me to, yay, talk first. Can I not, please? Thanks. Anyway, that's what you get for coming a little bit later. And then I think of another question was, how does this tradition two, help me to let go of the need to control? And I think about it in terms of, you know, that three-legged stool, the step, tradition, and concept, and how that every group, whether it's this group, my home group, my family group, every group has a higher power. And I've learned in the program to let go and let God. I've learned to do my part, you know, I was thinking of when I was a district rep. I had a voice when I was a district rep and chaired district rep meetings. I had a vote. At area level meetings, but when I did a district meeting, I didn't have a vote. You know, I was the director of that meeting. I spoke up per my experience, strength, and hope, per my understanding of the traditions, and then I let go and let God, and knew that the group would make the best choice for that group, whether it was what I wanted it to do or not. I'm completely powerless over that. You know, I do that. You know, when I'm in a group conscience meeting at my group level, I vote. And if the group votes different, you know, I support it because I definitely have the experience, strength, and hope to trust the higher power. You know, grateful for the let go and let God part there. And that gets me to how can I apply this tradition to my family life? And that's really important to me because I come to meetings to practice so that I can apply it in my real life. I come here so I can hear other people's experience, strength, and hope. I can read the literature and I can see how people have done this and how it can apply it to my life. And I do, you know, not only just my personal life, but my work life as well. I think of, you know, when I was a single mom with two kids and now I have, it's just a significant other in me, but we have a higher power. It's not, I was thinking, you know, I just said, let go and let God. I think of someone that I love in a relationship. And I can say that because some people here know my significant other's name. It's not let go and let Denise. It's not let go and let Bruce. It's let go and let God. you know, it's not let go and let, you know, Derek, my oldest son, let go and let Tom, my younger son. It's let go and let God. It's whatever the group conscience is. And I have some accountability to my children when they were younger, but they're both over 18. I don't have, you know, I had accountability to, but I wasn't accountable for, you know, I grateful for the program that they have their own life and their own higher power, just as when we were together. You know, I sometimes had to make legal decisions because they were under 18. But we come together in with my significant other. We talk about, I can think of specifically vacations, and I'll take time off and I work a lot more hours than he does. And he'll say, you know, it's your vacation. Do what you want to do. I go, no, it's not my vacation, Denise's vacation. And we're doing Denise. This is family vacation and we're doing family. You know, I may have some things that, you know, like I remember going to amusement parks and I'd say, okay, everybody gets to pick one. This is mine. This is what I want to do. We'll do everybody's thing. And then we do all of it together, the rest. If we get some in between, then fantastic. And then I'm so grateful that I can do that and apply this tradition to my life. And I'm looking forward to what others have to say. So thanks for allowing me to speak, guys. That'll pass.
Thank you so much, Denise. That was great. Let's give her all the jazz hands. Don't forget to send your questions to Maureen and we'll move on. Second speaker is Yvonne.
Hi, I'm Yvonne. Yes, can you hear me? Yeah, great. Hi, I'm Yvonne. I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon, California North, past delegate and currently in the Netherlands. For our group purpose, the word purpose, there's but one authority, a loving God. Who would know? I'm an authority on a lot of things, especially when I came in. I was an authority. I was the authority, or I was an authority on what you needed to know. So that in itself was a really hard sentence, and that only got me to like halfway of tradition two. As a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience, may is another word for possibility. And if you go to how Al-Anon works and you look at step two, it talks about a higher power and it's all about possibilities is step two. It's about possibilities. It's not about acquiring one. It's not about shopping. It's not about now I have one. It's like the possibility of that there is a God. Would you like one? There's a solution. And so also possibilities opens the world up for me that anything and everything is possible. And when I look up the word possibilities and you go back to the Latin, it says able to be done. And I needed some ability to get things done because I couldn't do it on my own. And then as far as obedience to the unenforceable, I thought that was always a really cute saying. And it took me years to figure out what that really meant. And Lois first introduced the idea of obedience to the unenforceable as a way of explaining how Al-Anon fellowship applies the 12 traditions to a group problem in a new chapter that she wrote for the March of 1966 printing of Living with an Alcoholic. She also says, Lois wrote that the individual's willingness to comply to the larger group conscience on matters affecting the wider Al-Anon community depends upon a loving understanding among its members, not the enforcement of any laws or rules. Lois called this voluntary compliance with the group conscience, obedience to the unenforceable. And so we're a fellowship, we're not a government. A government has laws and police and ways to enforce punishments. We don't. And that makes us totally different. And for me, obedience to the unenforceable is also my integrity. Can I obey to my own framework of principles that I live by and guide by, not because you need me to, not because you want me to, not because you're controlling me to do it, but can I adhere to that voluntarily? I could never do anything like that because I was always standing against other people, but never for myself. I never stood by my principles. I stood by my feelings. I was like a roller coaster. How I felt about you demanded me to behave in certain ways. And as I live by principles, my life becomes much more consistent. So obedience to the unenforceable for me is also step one. I'm powerless over people, places, and things, which also means you're powerless over me. I don't have to be controlled by anybody. What a novelty. It was hard for me to understand I had no control over you because it was hard to understand for me that you could not control me because I always felt controlled and compelled to make you happy, to do the right thing, to be nice to you, or else. And as I learned that there is but one authority, a loving God in my life, and it's okay to do for Yvonne what's okay for Yvonne, and even if it's not okay with you, I don't need to ask permission anymore. And I don't feel that I am bondage of self all the time. And so it was also asked, trust a servant. What does that mean? I always thought that was a weird word in the beginning. What do you mean, trust a servant? She's not going to do it right. She doesn't know. And that's the stupid, she's got very stupid thoughts. And it wasn't until they kept saying it, and I thought, what does that mean anyway? It means that trust a servant means that I am going to trust that you're not deliberately going to harm Al-Anon, that you're not deliberately do bad behavior. And for that, I have to presume goodwill. That is another one of those things that I have no idea how to do that. I presume you want the worst. I presume you're after me. I presume the worst, because that was my family disease of alcoholism. There was no presuming goodwill. I was always judged before the evidence even come on the table. And so when I presume goodwill, and even though what you're saying doesn't make sense to me, even if I think it's wrong, I have to presume that you have the best interest of this program at heart, that you want this program to survive as much as I do, that you want this program to thrive as much as I do. And it's a really long stretch to come from my opinion to be able to hear what you have to say. And it doesn't require me to agree with it. And so we are all trusted servants, because there's only one God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. And for me, a group conscience, the important word is informed group conscience. Something people seem to forget somewhere here and there. They updated the service manual here, and they got about 3 weeks to vote. I'm like, whoa, you can't do that. Somebody says, why not? I said, I have to read this. When is the vote going to be taken that we want this? She said, they didn't. I said, well, then we need one. So they started looking in and said, it's important that all people are entitled to equal information, that nobody gets shut out, that nobody withholds. And if the information is voluntarily provided to me, it creates trust. And again, I start seeing you as a trusted servant. I stop seeing you as you want what you want to do. So how can we inform our groups before we take a group conscience? That for me is knowledge-based decision-making. And I love that process, because once we've done the KBDM, it comes to a really easy group conscience, because we have all the facts on the table, not what we think, the facts. And with facts, I'm always better able to make a decision. It was also a question asked of us, how does tradition to help you trust God? Well, I didn't trust God in step two, so I can never get to trust God with all of you in service. When I play with one person, that's one thing. But when I start playing with 400 people at an assembly in California North, I don't trust 400 Al-Anons. That's a really tough, tall order. And so I had to get a personal understanding of a God in my life in step two, and preferably all the other steps. And then when I go to service, God only becomes bigger, or he gets to be nothing. And when I get to be in fear, and when I hear things, and when people start doing what they want to do, and when the information doesn't flow freely, when there is no transparency at an area level, God starts disappearing from me. And that's when I need to go to God. It's easy to see God when God's in the room and everything flows. It's easy for me to go, oh, that's such a lovely thing. It's really hard for me when life does not go well, when things are not transparent, and when I don't get information, to trust that God has a purpose, and that there is a purpose, and it's not what Yvonne wants, and it's not necessarily what the rest of the room wants. And what I was thinking about this afternoon is that it gets a lot easier if you have experience to trust the purpose that God has, because I can see 10, 20 years back and go, oh, I can see why that happened then. That was a no-brainer. But in the moment, I couldn't see it. I thought, well, you know, God, I don't know about you, but you've got it wrong, because I have a different opinion. And so I've thought that. Today it's like, well, yeah, you said that before, Yvonne. You said that before, and look how things turn out. And remember when you had good ideas? You see today how they turned out. And some of them are good, some of them were good, but they didn't turn out that good. because Al-Anon went on a roll with whatever they did. So more and more, I come to the understanding that the longer I'm here, the less I know. And the less I know, the more I got to trust on my higher power. You think I should know more after so many years, but I don't. I just become more open-minded to leave it up to a higher power. It just becomes easier to sit back and go, I'm going to see and I'm going to watch this, and I'll know an answer in 5 years or 10 years. It's going to be okay, because I've seen a lot of things go off the rails, and I've seen a lot of things come back on the rails. And that's the beauty of change, because life is forever perpetual change. And if I can't get used to that, life is not going to get good. So thank you so much. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Yvonne. That was great. So I'll give Jazz hands. And our final speaker is Jane from Canada.
Hi, everybody. Good afternoon. I'm Jane. I live just outside of, to give you an idea, many of you will have heard of Toronto, Ontario. So I'm just to the east of that, just a smidge. So I really appreciate being asked to share. Tradition two. When I got the outline from Helene, and it talked about, she asked us to talk about the unseen member. Well, I've got to tell you that was a phrase that, you know, I'm not familiar with. It's not one that's, I'm reminded that certain geographical areas have certain phrases or go to that are emphasized more than others. So unseen member for me was like, whoa, what are you talking about? So I asked one of my groups at the end of the meeting, do you have any reference to it? And sure enough, one of my sponsees found it for me and sent it to me. And ever since then, I've just been blown away that the unseen member is the higher power. So when I read tradition two, again, it has a whole other more powerful force for me. For our group purpose, there is but one authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. And so for me, it's important that I have a sense of that unseen member, what that unseen member is to me in my life. So on reflection, what I've discovered is that the more I've developed a sense of a higher power over the years, the more I can see it showing up in my behavior, particularly involved in service, whether it be our group meeting, a district meeting, area, delegate, whatever it was, I became more and more of the presence of a higher power. And I think it's become also for me really a way of acceptance. The spiritual principles of tradition too, you know, for me, they're patience, they are respect, humility, compassion. And when those come out as a result of my relationship with my higher power, it makes me a better member in my group. It encourages me to be a better listener. It encourages me to keep an open mind. And over the years now, I've seen a huge difference in me because I have become more willing to hear other points of view and not immediately dismiss them. Because that was my go-to. If I didn't like what you're saying, I wasn't listening. You know, or maybe if I didn't like you, no matter what you said, I didn't listen. So being able now, one of the things service has taught me over the years is that now when I hear something, and if I don't agree or I don't like it, I can now just kind of put it in my back pocket and say, okay, I'll put it there. And I'm better at not judging it. And the number of times over the years where that back pocket item is reached for, and then I can see the merit or the meaning or the value of whatever it is. So I find that, again, that's helpful in any relationship. And I guess using it in my day-to-day life, I don't see how I can avoid applying tradition too in my day-to-day life. I need to have those qualities if I want to be in relationship with anyone, whether it's just my spouse and I that are at home. So sometimes coming up with that idea of, well, in tradition one, our common welfare, common welfare that's mine or his. And so knowing that it's for the decision comes for us when there's room for my higher power in my life. And for me, I think it's as simple as expressing those principles that the traditions really, really exemplify for me. So there are three parts for me in this step, or three sections that got my attention. And the phrase loving God as expressed. And I think that's, how is that expressed in my group? And it's important. It always begins with me. How do I express my higher power? And my prior to Al-Anon, and probably well into Al-Anon, even when I was beginning service, my go-to is, well, sorry, you know, this is the way. And I've got the best idea, and we don't need to talk about it anymore. But what has transpired is that I've come to understand, the more I've been in service, that because we're a fellowship of equals, then it's important for me to hear everyone's perspective. And one of the ways that I try to do that, if I'm facilitating a committee or a group, is I go one by one around the room and ask that member to share what their feelings are. And nothing, there's no conversation back and forth. And I found that gives people courage to know that they can express their opinion and nobody's going to be jumping across the table and saying, yeah, but, because I certainly have been at Al-Anon meetings when the discussion ends up being with three or four members and others, everybody else just kind of sits back. And if I can encourage that respect, I think it's healthy for the group. Our group conscience, it took me a long time to understand for me what a group conscience was. I've come to understand that a group conscience is not a vote. It might end up in a vote, but a group conscience, somebody mentioned earlier, an informed group conscience, that takes time. And that used to just drive me nuts, especially the first, or being a GR, young in the program and very green in the traditions, it drove me crazy that we wouldn't make a decision right away. I didn't understand the links of service. I didn't understand that I needed to go back to my group, talk to the members, see what they thought. I just wanted it over and done with. I didn't understand that sometimes a topic was discussed at three or four meetings. Until, you know, all voices had been heard, until we were ready to make a decision. And then we might take a vote. We might not need to take a vote. So the joy of the group conscience I think, is the fact that it does express the willingness of our group. This is the way we want to go. And that works in any kind of relationship. Part of a book club, this is what I, you know, we have opinions. And what does the group want to do? And I think that's become a stronger sense with me to value others. I guess what it is the principle of respect. And the other thing I just want to comment on briefly is the idea of a trusted servant. If anybody had told me early on in Al-Anon that what I was doing was service, I would have stopped doing it because I didn't want to be, I didn't want to serve anybody. Thank you very much. Poor Jane had already been, you know, to that party and didn't want to be invited back anymore. So I came to understand that service simply for me was being of help, being of help. And I could see that as being something that I could do. But if somebody said, would you take this on? Would you? No, because I didn't trust that I would do a good enough job for me personally. The perfectionism was straight up beyond the forehead. So trusted servant now, and again, this is through the traditions and the concepts, is based on giving a group member the responsibility and the authority to do the job without interference. And that's a big one. And I've been part of a group where that's been a healthier aspect than others, or a committee than others. But okay, you're going to look after the speakers for this this committee or for this conference. And then everybody has a say in who they choose, who that person gets to choose. And essentially, then that person is just the mouthpiece. They're not the trusted servant. They were not given the authority to act as a trusted servant. And I think it's really important for any member, for me in particular, to have that sense of performing the task, but in my way. And I find what I really enjoy doing now is, I guess my role, I call myself a cheerleader. I'm a cheerleader for those who are new to a different kind of service, taking on another kind of commitment in service, encouraging them. And I love that. I love doing that. And I am mindful that I'm encouraging them. It's not the way I did it. It's not the way it, you know, it's been done for the last 20 years. And that's a tricky thing. Well, we've always done that way. So I try to be mindful and encouraging for anybody doing the service that they can do it their way. Once the job's been set out, they have the responsibility of doing it, but they also have the authority to do it without having to check back. Oh, I love the traditions. I love the fact that they're suggestions. And I'll just end with this. Many years ago, when I was just starting to work with my present day service sponsor, and I came to her with a concern. And I remember her saying, Jane, it's not what you think. It's what Al-Anon thinks, what Al-Anon suggests. So you hang your thoughts on the traditions and the concepts. And so that's been really helpful to have in my little toolbox to say, Al-Anon suggests that. And that way I'm referring to the service manual, I'm referring to our literature, and it doesn't become, well, Jane says. That's the way I always did. Jane says, well, so it's got to be right. So just leave those little thoughts with you. And again, thank you very much for asking me to share.
Thank you, Jane. Great job, everyone. Let's take a moment to thank all our speakers, and I will turn it over to Maureen, our Q&A moderator.
Oh, great, great topic. I'm so happy you could all join us today and share. We have some great questions here, and I will let you know which speaker they are for, and I can tell you which one I want to go first, second, third. That way we're not talking over each other. Unless you want to just jump in, that's okay too. In group situations outside of the program, where your input may not be welcome, can someone talk about accepting authority and how God's will is expressed? So I would assume that's like outside the Al-Anon group, I guess. Yvonne, would you be willing to go first on that one?
Well, yeah. Hi, I'm Yvonne. I'm thinking about that because it's a very broad question. Is it with family? Is it with legal stuff? Is it in the, is it at work? I've learned in Al-Anon that most things outside of my hula hoop are none of my business. And if I practice step one and I step back and I shut up, I see God. So if I want to know what God's will is in a situation outside of Al-Anon, I practice keeping my mouth shut and stepping to the side and taking my hands off whatever it is that I'm trying to maneuver in a way that I need to have it and see what God's will is for me. Unless I'm asked to participate, unless my opinion is asked, unless they want to know what do you think, which most of the time people don't really specifically ask me that. I may ask, you know, can I say something? But it doesn't mean I'm going to get what I want. It doesn't mean they can hear me. I have full control over what I say, but I have no idea what somebody else is going to hear. And what I do know about inside Al-Anon, and I'm just thinking about that, is that I'm not here to change Al-Anon. I'm here to let Al-Anon change me. And so I think I'm also not here to change your life. I'm here to change my life. And that doesn't involve me telling you what I need, want, or do. It just involves me praying and meditating and staying tuned until I can hear or see God in the situation. Thank you.
Thanks, Yvonne. Jane.
Hi. Yeah, I think the only thing that I want to add to what Yvonne said is that because of the principles, the underlying spiritual principles in this tradition and in all the traditions, I hope that I carry it with me wherever I'm going. So when it's outside of Al-Anon, whatever it might be, I want to be respectful. I want to be compassionate. I want to be. And I have learned that so many things really are not in my hula hoop. And if someone specifically asks me for my thoughts, I really need to think about it before I express it. Because again, what's my motive? What am I trying to do? And very easily it can be being a little manipulative and trying to eat. So checking my motive is really, really important for me. Thanks.
Thank you, Jane. Denise.
Hi, guys. I thought of so many things in my life outside of the program when it comes to this. And I think, you know, what the others had to say was really good. I really need to look at the principles and especially step one. I can think of specifically at work right now. I'm in a semi-leadership role. And my job there is, you know, just like I learned here with my service job, I express myself, I have a voice, but I don't always have a vote, especially at work. I don't have a vote and they're going to do what they're going to do, but I have a voice. I have a voice and I practice it in a principled way as much as possible. And remember, you know, it's not my will.
So, you know, I speak up and I say it in a principled way and I let it go. And that's so tough to do that. And I can see it with my family too. You know, I express it and I think, you know, when do I speak up? When is it mine? You know, what's the motive? But when do I speak up and do I need to speak up? And if it involves me, I speak up. And then I let it, you know, let the outcome be whatever the outcome is. But if it involves me, I need to speak up and take care of my part and be responsible for myself. And then, you know, I let the responsibility to my higher power's hands, whatever group I'm in. I bring my higher power and my principles to wherever group I'm in. So thanks.
Thanks, Denise. Again, that was a great question. The next question I'd like to ask is for Yvonne. Can you share some situations outside of Al-Anon where applying the principles in the second tradition has reduced the tension of disagreement and led to a happy ending?
Well, my current situation comes to my mind. My mother passed away and I only have one cousin in the Netherlands and he's on my father's side. I never really had much contact or grew up with him. And when we did, we never got along because remember, we all come from the family disease. And this time I had to give him power of attorney. I had to turn over all the money. I had to turn over the house. I had to turn over my mother. I'm thinking, and then the questions comes in my mind. Well, what is? And I'm thinking, Yvonne, you're in the United States, what you gonna do? I'm like, well, that's true. Do you want to do this? I can't, and I don't want to right now. I can't, because I had surgery. And so I'm here today, and you know, of course, we're not agreeing on how we should go about or how to go about this. So I called him and I said, okay, so this is what I've heard. This is what I think. He said, well, no, that's not gonna happen. I said, I just need to say it. I mean, that may not happen. And you may get all the information and that's fine with me. I just, for my sake, I need to say this. And he goes, oh, okay. He said, yeah, that's a good point. And so we're getting along because I am not constantly micromanaging him. I am not constantly controlling what he does. I have to trust that it's gonna be okay. It's like, I'm not really ready to foot a bill that you say is not gonna happen, but the rest of the world says it is. And he goes, He said, I'll make some calls and I'll negotiate. I'm like, great. And I'm done with that at this particular moment in time. If there is a bill, then there is a bill. You know, God will give me what I need to pay the bill. And if there's no bill, then that's even better. I am trusting that God is in this process of what I need to do. And that the time that I have to do it, that all of that is going the way it's supposed to go. And so far, inside of me, I'm like, I don't know. I'm just doing the next best thing. And it's working out pretty good. But it doesn't go without fear and trepidation that I feel, but really don't react to. I stick with the principle of suiting up and showing up and doing the next best thing and speaking up when I need to speak up. But things always go better when Yvonne keeps her big mouth shut instead of opening it up every 5 minutes. And that's a given. Whoever's asking the question, it's a given. Thank you.
Thanks, Yvonne. So the next question is for all three of you. What are some ways you have gotten groups you participate in to use the traditions as a topic to deepen recovery? Let's see. I'll go with Denise.
Hi, guys. The way that I've done groups that I attend and talk about traditions. There is one group that I attend that has a regular format. They've done a group conscience on a regular format and they do the step tradition concept of the month. And then they do a slogan. So I know that I'll attend one every month. And there's another group that every Thursday they do the tradition of the month. But I tend to go and bring that up when there possibly is an issue. When there's an issue going on in the meeting, I'll say, you know, can we talk about this tradition that's affecting this? And this is what I see. Also, I do a lot of readings. You know, I talk about the literature. I'll do a reading and I'll go, guys, you know, I can we talk about this? This was really good. I thought this was really good. Can we talk about it? And, you know, I find it really helpful to do that.
Thanks, Denise. Jane, would you like to answer that?
I don't know if I've got much of an answer for that because I've been blessed to be in groups where the tradition has always been, as well as a step, has always been a topic. And I remember being new in Al-Anon and figuring that you know, if there was a meeting I was going to miss, I'd miss the tradition meeting because it didn't have anything to do with me. And I, you know, for the longest time, I didn't see any connection. It was all about me and my recovery. And that's just the way it went. But I'll tell you, I've been so blessed by being in those groups where we have studied the tradition. And I can see how it's allowed our groups to be pretty harmonious. And that when we're all the members are kind of talking the same language, because we're coming from a place where we know this is how we are guided, and that our higher power is brought into the conversation. And so for me, it's any group, if to be a member of that group, I know I need the solid basis of, Denise talked about it earlier, the three-legged stool. So my other group that I belong to is a legacy group. And that's what we discuss each month, a step, tradition, concept. And there are a couple of other groups in my district that do the same thing. But I find it for me an absolute necessity to have that underlying framework for which we can go forward. And so I think if I was moved and I went to a group somewhere else and they weren't doing that, or I couldn't find that, I might try to suggest adding that as something at least to discuss at business meetings and bring it in, because I really believe it gives flavor, it gives support, it gives, it's like the practical application. I can see it at our meetings. Okay, this is how it really works. Thank you.
Thanks, Jane.
Yvonne, have you got anything to add to that?
I was taught, if you want the group to get interested in the traditions or the concepts, why don't you chair a meeting? And I know that the concepts can get very dry for people, and so do the traditions, because if you come in with a problem, you want the solution to the problem, you do not want a tradition. What I very often do is I talk about the principles, and I take people through the principles of the traditions, or at least the first 5 or 6, or the last 6 to 12. And when I talk about the principles, like the principle of tradition one is unity, I talk about how I had no unity in my body. I had no unity in my family. If my mother and father were divided, I had peace. So unity was not something I came in with. I took all these character defects and I applied them in Al-Anon just as well. And thank God for old timers. And so then people say to me, where did you get that from? I said, Path to Recovery, which I think is the best book on the tradition. And then people get inspired to look for it. I also sometimes chair a meeting on the 3-minute talk that the delegates have in the World Service Conference summary. They have them through all the years, and it's an exactly 3-minute story, and they're really good. And people say, where did you get that from? Oh my God, that is so good. I said, oh, they have a whole bunch of them, World Service Conference. And they're like, what's that? So you can go online. It gets them to investigate. They may not want to read everything, but when I investigate, I get to read a lot of other things before I get to the piece that I'm looking for. That's another way to get people to do something. Be an attraction rather than a promotion.
Thanks, Yvonne. Yes, go ahead, Jane.
Yeah, I've just, the other suggestion I have is a piece of literature that we've got. Just a minute.
While you're looking for that, maybe I can go ahead and ask the next question.
Reaching for Personal Freedom.
Okay, yes.
That is really helpful for introducing groups into investigating the traditions and the concepts, because they talk about the traditions in your personal life and talk about the concepts in your personal life, so that it takes that almost default go to, oh, well, they're so dry. And I think that's the other thing that I can do as a member, is not put that across. I want to try to say, these are really exciting. And I mean it. And so if I come with that attitude, the chances of being listened, the idea of including them in my group is more likely to take place. But I would suggest that reaching for personal freedom is a good resource.
Okay, thank you. Yvonne, somebody was asking which piece of Cal you were reading from when you were talking about the obedience to the unforeseeable and Lois. Do you have that down? What was that piece of literature?
Well, I have no literature with me here. So you call a sponsee and let her do the research. And then you call her back and said you missed one quote. And then she gets the quote in time for me to be here.
I like that.
Yeah, it's from Many Voices, One Journey. The one that I read first. And the one that I love most that I had her look up is Lois believed in philosophy of attraction, not promotion, of leadership by example and not compulsion. Her vision of obedience to the unenforceable was based on her respect for the dignity of personal choice, not on the authority of a governing body. And I find it so really well said by Lois, not compulsion. And I'm so compulsive in my disease. I'm so knee-jerk reactive. So it's Many Voices, One Journey.
Okay, great, thank you. Let's see, somebody else was wanting to know if you could all let us know what your home group is so that if we are traveling, we can visit you, or we could, if you're on Zoom, maybe we could pop into your Zoom meeting. So let's see, Denise, do you want to share your home group with us, please?
Sure. My home group is Jenison Friday night. I think it's, I get them mixed up. One is Serenity, one is Acceptance. Jenison Friday night, 7 p.m. Michigan. And it is right now on Zoom, and we're trying hybrid to be back in the some people that are safe to be back in the building, and I'm still not safe, so I am on digital, so I can get that information out if anybody wants it.
Thanks, Denise. Jane?
Yeah, my home group is called Peace and Serenity Al-Anon Family Group. We meet on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. Might be a little early for some of you or a little late for some of you, but we are still a virtual meeting, a Zoom meeting, and if anybody would like that information, I'll just put it in the chat now so you can grab it if you want it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. My home group currently is based in the Netherlands, and it's done in Dutch, so you're welcome to come, but it's not a bilingual group, and it's on Friday and Saturday night at 8 o'clock European time.
Great. Thank you for sharing that, you guys. Let's see. I'm going to ask Donnell, would you be ready to share for a couple of minutes about your experience, strength, and hope on this topic?
Hi. Thanks for asking. I'm Donnell from Washington State. And, you know, as has been said, you know, when I got into Al-Anon, I was the ultimate authority. I remember the first time I attended a business meeting and my sponsor, she wasn't my sponsor at the time, but we had a discussion and then they took a vote. And I said, well, yeah, but wait a minute, because my job was to bring you all around to my conscience. And, you know, she just kind of put her hand on my knee and looked at me and said, we've already voted. And I wasn't going to go back. It was so rude. And, you know, I think that it started to slowly sink in. And when I really got into service, because at first I wanted to come in and be the treasurer and the literature person and set up the chairs and make the coffee and turn everything down and have the key so you could all see how wonderful I was and how organized I was. And, you know, I fortunately landed in a group of a lot of really wise women who had been around a while, saw me coming a mile away. And, you know, so I got to just sit and listen, and I became the activities director or coordinator for our district. And I mean, this is silly, but, you know, one of the ways that I saw this happening was that I had set up the table for the luncheon. And then I noticed somebody coming along and rearranging it. And I was going to go over and say, hey, wait, you know, I haven't set up the way I want it. And then I went, how important is it? I don't care. And a few minutes later, somebody else came along and rearranged the table. And I think it happened like four times. And by the end of it, I was kind of laughing. Like, you know, we're all here for a reason, right? Like I always think I have a better way. I always think, you know, that my way, that I've looked at all of it, you know, that hypervigilance. And I just want to say thank you so much for this meeting. I am learning so much and I really, really appreciate it. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much for sharing, Donnell. Appreciate it. That was kind of by the seat of your pants, but I appreciate it. Thank you. Jane, somebody was wanting to know, and it looks like she asked me directly. So she wants to know what time and what time zone your meeting is in. If you can go ahead and post that in chat.
Oh, okay.
All right. Everybody could see it. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, great. There was a possible future service position that you believed your higher power was gently nudging you towards, but you were not sure if you actually had what it took to fill that position effectively. What action would you take?
Take the position. That's what I always did. Because God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And I've always been qualified. I thought I was the most insuitable. When they elected me for chair for Northern California, I can tell you I couldn't breathe. I couldn't sleep. And I thought, you 400 Al-Anons are going to hang me by the time it's October and I have a 3-day assembly. And I planned my funeral. I planned my departure. I thought I could find an excuse without you knowing that I would admit that I couldn't do this, of course. I couldn't figure it out. I thought, I'm just going to die. They'll just evict me. They're going to figure out I'm stupid. And they qualified me. And I've never learned as much as the chair for Northern California in any other position. But I had to get past the fear of dying and not being able to breathe and never have a good night's sleep. You're only going to find out that you're able to do it is by doing it. You have to prove yourself wrong.
Perfect. Thanks.
Thank you for repeating.
Okay, Denise.
If I could find the unmute button, I was wondering, is like one person or all of us? I kind of take a little bit different approach to that. I do, especially, you know, I can think of some this last year that I've thought about taking. I definitely do the 72-hour rule, y'all. I think about it for a minimum of 72 hours. I put it in my God box and I talk to my higher power about it. And I also look at what literature is out there. I'm a big literature geek. You know, I'll go to the World Service Office website and I'll look if there's a guideline. And what does that guideline say? And the last few things I've thought about doing, I've actually called the current person in that position and I've said, hey, these are my questions. What do you think? And this is, I mean, specifically, I was looking at, you know, delegate at the area level. And I'm like, can you do it if you work full time? Because y'all, I work full time and it's a full-time job. And can I do it? And, you know, got a lot of information and a lot of questions. I am not the current area delegate. I was not voted in. I did not stand. you know, but I was there and I was ready and prepared, you know, and I stood for something else this year, y'all, and I wasn't voted in and I was the only one standing. You know, how does that work? I don't know. You know, the God of that body did what that God of that body wanted to do. But, you know, I, just like this, you know, they asked me to speak and I, there wasn't, you know, did I give it 70? I think I did because somebody asked me for January. I'm like, you know, on that date for January, I'm chairing another workshop. So I can't do that. But, you know, let me know of another day and this day came up. So those are the things that I do. And I do a lot of journaling. I do a lot of going to my higher power. I do a lot of 72 hours. You know, those are the things I do.
Yeah, God does seem to guide us some way or another. Especially in this program. Jane, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, just a couple of things just to add. The big one for me is checking my motive. Why would I be doing what I'm doing? And that's important. It's important for me almost in all situations to check my motive. And the other one, I talk with my service sponsor and my personal, both my personal and service sponsor. They know me well. And I don't ask for them to say yes or no, but I know when I'm talking to them, I can hear my own voice and I know I can get good feedback from both of those women. Very often I spend a lot of time ignoring that nudge from my higher power and I wait for it to end up being a big sledgehammer. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, okay, okay. Because with a lot of them, I'm not jumping out up and down saying, yeah, woo, I get to do this. But there is that quiet acceptance. By the time I've said I'm willing to stand for that position, I feel reasonably confident that I will be given what I need. Thanks.
Thank you, Jane. All right, so next question. Has your service work helped you become more flexible in your program, relationships, and other aspects of your life?
Wow.
Who'd ever like to start? I you can all answer that one. Who'd ever like to go first?
I will. It's Jane. I know in my heart that I would not be where I am in my personal recovery without the service that I've been able to do for Al-Anon. It's given me the opportunity to see myself as I am, see myself connected with my higher power, see myself in relationship with others. It's just given me that, it's put me in the place where I've had to experience a lot of things where I've needed to go to my traditions, and I've needed to go to my concepts and service manuals to find out whatever it is I'm looking for. But I would think that the thing that it's given me more than is a wider acceptance overall, and patience, and trusting that things work out the way they are meant to be. And it's seldom ever in my time. But it's been the absolute foundation. I know the steps are, without the steps being there, but I would not be this Jane. I'd be a different Jane, but I would not be this Jane without having had the experience that I get through service. And to me, I would always suggest that, if you want to boost your program, well, it's like your turbocharge there on your flyer, get involved in service, because you're going to find yourself in situations I found myself in situations that I never thought I'd be in. And I came out, I believe, a wiser, more understanding member of Al-Anon. Thank you.
Thanks, Jane. Denise, do you have anything to add to that? Or how has your service work helped you become more flexible in your program and relationships and other aspects of your life?
Thank you for that. I was actually going to say, what is that word that you used? Was it flexibility? And you said it, that's higher power right here. Oh my gosh. Flexible. And it's helped me. I didn't know how rigid I was when I came in, how my life was black and white and not the multiple colors in between. And it definitely being in service, it is. I have definitely learned to be more flexible. I have learned to put things in my higher power's hands and to let it go to, the will of the higher power of the group. And it makes my life so much easier, to put my life, because I know my life ends up so much better when it's in my higher power's hands, whether it be, and I come to here to practice so I can go do it out in the real world. And I'm thinking recently, things at work. I've applied for certain roles and I have not gotten them. And like somebody else said, they know the outcome, and I, applied and did get it. And I went, oh, that's what it was for. That's why I didn't get it. Thank God I didn't get it, because this is what I needed to do here. So hopefully that made sense. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Denise. Yvonne, how have you become more flexible?
Yeah. Well, recovery of the mind. When you look at the triangle of Al-Anon, it says recovery or unity, recovery, and then service. And so somebody told me once while I was being of service, I was buying chips for a speaker meeting.
And of course he was AA. And he looks at me and he says, have you ever, do you know what the meaning of the coin is? And I'm looking at him, I'm like, I think so. He said, do you see this triangle? I'm like, uh-huh. He said, look at it as a road. He said, you get on the road here, recovery of the mind, work the steps. Unity of the body, mind, body, and spirit in the same place at the same time. You get serenity. He said, and then you get onto the red carpet of this deal. He said, because then you're going to get in service. And when you get to service, it leads you back to life. It brings you to life and it leads you to life. He goes, because the word, well, he didn't tell me this one. Because service means to be of use. And I have always felt useless, unimportant, invisible, unheard, unseen my whole life. And so when I got to do service, I became of use. And that hole in my stomach, that God hole, started filling up because I started seeing God in service. And because of service, because of making a commitment to do a job, whether it's secretary, setting up the chairs, it doesn't have to be a big one. That, I mean, trust me, the delegates are not perfect either. We all suffer from the same disease. But when I make a commitment, I become available for people, places, things, and situations that formerly I was not available or unable to deal with. And God gave me the ability to be able to function, to deal, because of you lovely personalities that I get to work with in Al-Anon, and that I have to, through gritted teeth sometimes, have to learn to get along with. And once I beat the problem of a personality, they disappear. All these people that used to bother me don't bother me. And it doesn't mean everybody's gone. I still have a short list of people. I always have a short list because I'm never done learning. But service is the practical application of the steps, the traditions, and the concepts. Because I can think about it, I can figure about it, I can write about it. But as long as it stays in my head without action, because this is a program of action, I need to act and I need to learn how to do that. And there's no better place than service. Quality control. They're all Al-Anon certified insane people that you get to work with. So it's great.
Great. Thank you very much for sharing that. Sorry, just a second here. Okay. We're almost done, but I am going to finish up the time by asking Mike, is Mike still here from Arizona? If he would be willing to share for a couple minutes on the topic and then we'll close up the meeting. Thanks, Mike. Okay.
Thanks, everybody. And thanks to the speakers. That was really great. Got a lot out of this today and for the questions. You know, when I think about this tradition, I also have to think about tradition one of our common welfare and our unity. Because to me, this whole idea of group conscience and our higher power speaking through this group conscience is built on that. Because when I go to meetings in other organizations or in other situations, the thing that makes Al-Anon so unique is this spiritual dimension that is not often embedded in the principles of another organization. And this, you know, as good as some of those other organizations may be, that spiritual component, just like it did in my recovery, it filled something and allowed something to happen that is greater than the whole. And it opened me up as well as opening up the meeting that I was participating in. You know, I attend a couple of men's meetings and a couple of mixed meetings. And every time somebody says, oh, we're going to have a business meeting on such and such a date, not only do the eyes start rolling, but the people start heading for the door or they start hitting the, I'm out of this Zoom meeting. And I got to tell you, that used to be me as well. And now that I've been in a couple of service positions where I had to be not just have the ideas and the leadership, but I had to even be a better listener. Damn it. You know, it's like, I look forward to these business meetings because they give me an opportunity to check my program, to deepen my program, to see where do I still need to do my work and what are other people having to offer in that kind of situation that helps us grow as a group and helps me grow as an individual. So, and that's higher power at work. That is our leaders that trust as trusted servants. And that is me being able to participate as an equal and obedience to the unenforceable. And it's just beautiful. And I don't, you know, I get to look at one of my fears again or one of my character defects and work through it. And you know what? I'm still here. Somehow I made it. So thank you very much for letting me speak, Maureen. And thanks everybody again for your speaking today.
Thanks for sharing, Mike. Appreciate that. God's in charge or God works. And somebody asked a question to me personally, and the last two speakers, I believe, answered that question. So I know the higher power's in charge today for sure, too. So I'm going to go ahead and direct your attention to the chat, because we wanted you to keep an eye out for our website, on the Arizona website, for our upcoming schedule and the previous recordings. And also, I'm going to close the meeting, I think, because I'm going to take it back to the chairperson.
Thanks, Maureen. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Our next workshop is on Thursday, April 1st. That is 7 p.m. Phoenix, Arizona time. Arizona does not do daylight savings. So the topic is, let it begin with me learning how to say yes. So we hope to see you there. And we'll close with the Al-Anon Declaration. Let it begin with me.
Thank the speakers. When anyone. Time.
Oh, sure. Thank all the speakers.
Thank you.
Everybody that shared, everybody that's part of it. Sorry. Yep. And the Al-Anon Declaration. Let it begin with me.
Let it begin with me.
When anyone
anywhere reaches out for help, let the hand of Al-Anon and Al-Ateen
always be there.
Always be there. Let it begin with me.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.